This is Ozarks at Large. The Jewish holiday, Tu B'Shvat, is celebrated worldwide over a two-day period starting on the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Shavat, starting at sunset. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich was invited to attend a Tu B'Shvat Seder, or ritual feast, last Sunday evening at Temple Shalom in Fayetteville, and she brings us this story.
Members of Temple Shalom have gathered this chill Ransok Sunday evening for Tu B'Shvat. Rabbi Jacob Adler on mandolin, accompanied by Josh Bassarir on guitar, warm up the crowd with a song about olive trees standing. This congregation, established in 1981, counts 70 member individuals and families, Adler says. The temple built 10 years ago, and they've come tonight to celebrate the coming of spring.
It is, yes. Yes, and like a lot of Jewish holidays, or a lot of old things in general, it's had many reinterpretations. Originally, it was a tax deadline. That is, you had to pay a tithe, which is essentially a tax on the fruits of your trees.
Traditionally, the collected tax was given to the poor as well as to support operations of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, Adler says.
And so on Tu B'Shvat, people would go out into their orchards, and fruit that was already formed on the tree before Tu B'Shvat would be taxed with the prior year, and fruit that had not yet formed would be taxed with the coming year.
Basically an inventory of fruit, but conducted in a celebratory, even romantic way.
You can imagine what it would be like going out into the orchards, which was a beautiful bucolic country festival. So you go out and you look at your trees. Young people who didn't have much privacy at home would say, oh, we're going out to look at if the grapes are budded yet. And so they get to spend time together. And this seems to be what's described in the Song of Songs, let us go out to the fields. And it gradually developed into a mystical holiday. So the mystics have this conception of the tree of life.
The tree of life, as described in the book of Genesis, standing in the midst of the Garden of Eden, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
The tree of life comes from heaven downward. So the roots are up there, and the fruit is down here. And the divine energy, in Hebrew called Shefa, which is like the sap of the tree, comes down through the tree and it bears fruit for us down here, which is like the divine energy entering the world and giving us strength to do good deeds of all kinds, both like really religious ones, so the strength and intelligence to study, and the moral awareness and strength to help people out who are in need of help.
A third manifestation resembles 20th century Arbor Day.
Because at this time of year in Israel, it's a good time to plant trees. And the early settlers in the 19th and 20th centuries came to a land that had once been forested, but by then was desertified, turned into desert. And so they planted trees, and tree planting was a big thing. When I was little, you know, if you wanted to give someone a present on a special occasion, you would say a tree has been planted in your honor in Israel. Israel is the only country that has more trees now than 100 years ago. Everyone else has less. Israel has more because of this.
Tu B'Shvat is also observed as a Jewish Earth Day, Adler says.
We don't just plant trees, but become aware of our responsibility to take care of the whole environment.
Tu B'Shvat Seder, or ceremonial feast, traditionally involves the eating of 30 types of fruits.
You start with fruits that have a hard, inedible shell. And that symbolizes the lowest level of creation, and God's divinity is completely hidden. So you can look around tables and chairs and you don't see anything divine, and yet it's there. Without that energy, they wouldn't exist. The next level tree is fruits that have a pit in the middle, but fruit on the outside. And so you can penetrate more into the divine mysteries, but the core is still hidden. And then the next level, the next 10 fruit, are completely edible. And so that symbolizes a person who has achieved a greater awareness of divinity.
temple members take their seats at long white tables in the dining hall, where Miriam cleansing fusses over a serving table on which she's carefully arranged bowls of various fruits and nuts into a tall tree shape, starting with hard-shelled tree crops.
These are the almonds. These are hazelnuts. These are coconut, pecans, cashews, walnuts, pistachios, and this one is dragon fruit.
The beet-colored tropical fruit tastes like a cross between a kiwi and a pear. Next, she points to various pitted soft shell fruits, plums and peaches and olives, tonight symbolically drenched in olive oil. And last, she's arranged the totally edible fruits, palmellos, figs, and grapes.
And then, and in between, we drink wine or grape juice. And we listen to Rabbi as he explains things.
The seder begins with song, followed by prayers and readings, one on the ancient history of Tu B'Shvat.
On the first of Elul is New Year for the tithe of cattle. Eleazar and Simeon, however, place this on the first of Tishri. On the first of Tishri...
Rabbi Adler reminds those assembled that this ancient Kabbalistic ritual originally was forbidden, except to those considered the most pious of Jewish scholars.
When I was little, I never heard of a Tu B'Shvat Seder, because it was something done by Sephardic mystics, and even if you knew about them, they probably wouldn't let you in. But gradually, the custom filtered out through the Jewish world, and now we have Tu B'Shvat Seders all over the world.
As well as in Fayetteville, Arkansas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
I'm